chapter 24, book of Exodus, chapter 24, and from verse 9 onwards. Exodus chapter 24, verse 9 to verse 18. Can we read, I shall start verse 9. We shall read vice versa, each verse is each. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hands. Also they saw God and did eat and drink. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain, into the mount of God. And Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mount. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 32. As you read, Aaron has been assigned a job to look after when Moses goes 40 days and 40 nights. And as we continue to read in chapter 25 and 26, 28 and 29, we read God is giving additional laws, the tabernacles, the priesthood. And now we read a few verses there in Exodus chapter 32 as we come. Shall we read 15 verses? Maybe we shall read vice versa again. Exodus chapter 32, I shall read verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go get thee down, for thy people, which thou boughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. And Moses besought the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, why doeth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with mighty hand. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servant to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidest, unto them I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And verse 15, and Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tablets of the testimony were in the hand, the tables were written on both their sides, on one side and on the other were they written. Let's pray. Most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I come before thy throne of grace and I seek your, Lord, your mercy, your grace upon the servant, that you may anoint me. And help me, Lord, to divide thy word in thy truth. And bless every soul which hear thy word, that we may be committed, may do God's work in God's will. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. As we come to Exodus chapter 24, which I read the first portion. As you know, I've been meditating in the last few months on the book of Exodus. From the land where the land of Egypt, they have left after 430 years. And now we are at where we were at. We're still at Mount Sinai. I do not know whether anybody remembers what I shared last time. Where were we last time? We were at Mount Sinai, if you remember, on Exodus chapter 19. Does anyone remember what month they entered from the time they left the land of Egypt to the land of Mount Sinai? Nisan. Nisan was the day, the 15th day of the Nisan was the day they left. And it was third month. You read Exodus chapter 19 verse 1. In the third month, they entered to the land of Mount of Sinai. The third month. When was the manna given to the people of God? It was the first month. 30 days from the day they left. If you read in Exodus chapter 16, it was called the wilderness of sin. And the first month, the 30 days, the manna started to come from that day all the way to 40 years. They were fed by the Lord. Quail is to come, manna was given. How long were they, you think? We're talking about Mount Sinai. We started at chapter 19. We're at now chapter 24. How long would you think people of Israel were there on Mount Sinai? Any guess? Approximately? Sorry, Will? Yeah, they were there for 11 months and 5 days. God gives us the account of exact time. So they were at the first year of the third month, they're in Mount Sinai. If you turn to Numbers chapter 1, book of Numbers chapter 1, you read that, and the Lord spoke unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation of the first day of the second month, in the second year, they were come out of the land of Egypt. In the second month, in the second year, they're still in Mount Sinai. And you know what happened? They took the census. If you read chapter 1, God ordered them to take the census of the people. How many people were there? Any guess how many people were there? There were about 603,000 men, about 2 million people led by Moses. Numbers chapter 10 verse 11 gives a clear description as to when they departed from Mount Sinai. Please turn to Numbers chapter 10 and verse 11. We read that, and it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month, in the second year, that the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle of the testimony, and the children of Israel took their journey out of the wilderness of Sinai, and the cloud rested in the wilderness of Paran. Where was the next destination? wilderness of Paran. If you count exactly 3 months in this chapter, it was 11 months, 5 days. Brothers and sisters, we're reading a most historical event, what happened to the people of Israel for the 11 months. Because this 11 months was a precious time, what God gave to them, much revelation. The very first commandment God gave was on the first month, was to take the manna every morning. Only take little, but they failed. To keep the Sabbath, they failed. But now God is showing more of glory, more of glory. And now He's revealing the laws, the commandments. And as we read from chapter 24 onwards, Moses has already been there few times. He's an 80-year-old man. And I could say he's a great mountain climber. Any guess how many times he would have climbed mountain?
Seven?
Very close. I could take at least eight. At least eight. The very first time is, when we see this, as we read chapter 24 verse 9, is the fifth time he's climbing the mountain. How big was the mountain? If you recollect, I was sharing, it was 7,500 feet. In the peninsula of Egypt, Mount Sinai. It may take about 2.5 hours to climb this mountain. Most of us climbed a mountain in near Newcastle, and we decided we'll go for a sunrise and a sunset, and also next day. But the first time we went, it took about half an hour for us. I do not know how much feet it was, maybe less than 700 feet or 600 feet, I would think. And we went, we were all excited, we enjoyed it, but we were so tired. We could not go anymore. We changed our plans, and we could not continue to go back to that mountain when we went to Nelson's Bay. Few of us here from us, we went. But Moses climbed at least eight times. The very first time when God asked him in Exodus chapter 19, verse 2 and 3, we read, come up to the mountain where he says, God says, I'll make this people a great nation, a chosen nation, a peculiar nation. And as we go in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 8, God calls Moses again the second time. He says, I'll consecrate the people. On the third day, I shall appear to all the people, the millions of people, so that they may know it is God who is speaking to Moses, so that they may see the glory of God. As we see in Exodus chapter 19, verse 20, they are in the mountain on the third day, and God tells them, go back and tell the people, do not come close to the mountain. Do not come close to the mountain. So there were three. And the fourth occasion is, we see in Exodus chapter 20 and chapter 20 onwards, where Moses is in the mountain, getting the Ten Commandments, the laws. And here we are on the fifth time, as we read in verse 9. Here it is surprising. God calls in verse 1, chapter 24, verse 1. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, and Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders, and worship ye afore. Verse 2, Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come, neither shall the people go up with him. 70 elders, Aaron and his two sons, who was Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, shall come, but they shall worship afar off. This is the fifth ascent Moses is climbing. But Moses comes back, and now we read in the same chapter, who goes back with him? Joshua goes back with Moses. And this time, in verse 18, you read, 24 verse 18, Moses stays 40 days and 40 nights. Joshua is not somewhere in the mountain as well. He's not with the people of God, as we read in verse 32. And as we read the seventh time, where people failed in chapter 32, Moses goes back. In 32, we read the seventh time where Moses goes back. He says, blot me out, O God, in the midst of, he intercedes for them. That is the seventh time Moses goes. And the eighth time, we all probably know, Moses goes again. He makes his own tablets, two tablets, and climbs up again. And that was the eighth time Moses climbs. Two times, 40 days. That was the eighth time, I believe. Maybe have climbed a few more times, I do not know. But the Word of God clearly gives an account of eight times climbing, nearly 40 days or twice, and many more days. We do not know how many days he was. And look at the passion of Moses, an eight-year-old man, and the man of God, the servant of God. Indeed, he was the meekest and the most faithful man of God we could see in the Word of God. Now, as we come to Exodus chapter 24 and verse 9, I'd like to look at this morning, desire to study on the word of the commitment and God's work to be done in God's way. The commitment and God's work to be done in God's way. How many characters we see in Exodus chapter 24? We read from verse 9 to verse 18. How many characters did you see? You probably saw Moses. You saw Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu. And you saw 70 elders in there. They all saw the glory of God. And you saw Joshua as well there, isn't it? Climbing up. What was Aaron called to do? Aaron was told. Let's look at the passage when Moses is going back with Joshua. He's going back for God has called him to stay in the mountain to receive additional laws. This time he's going to be there for 40 days and 40 nights. What was Aaron told to do? Did anyone read? Aaron was told in verse 14. Aaron and Hur. There was one more person called Hur. H-U-R. And they are to take the responsibility to look after the people while Moses and Joshua are up in the mountain. Yeah? Any problems? Any counsel? Moses told, come to Aaron and Hur. Nadab and Abihu have seen the glory of God. In verse 10 we see, they could see the footstool of God, a sapphire stone. They could not see the, but yet they lived. They ate after seeing the glory of God. No one can see God and live. But God was merciful and gracious to show the glory of God to these young people. And I think Aaron and Hur would be an elderly people, because her great son became an architect. His name was Belziel. In verse chapter 31 of Exodus 1, you see God gives him the wisdom and knowledge to build the tabernacle, his grandson, I should say. So they were elderly people. They had seen the life, they had seen all the challenges in Egypt. They've gone back, they've come back here for the last 4 months, they've seen the glory of God. Now we read chapter 32, all of us, a few verses, isn't it? What happened to the people of God? What is the first commandment of God? God said, thou shalt not have any gods beside me. Thou shalt not make any image. Thou shalt not offer sacrifices. What happened 40 days before? Just 40 days before. You read in verse 32, as we read Exodus 32. What did the people do? People came to Aaron and they said, make us gods. And they wanted a physical god. Not only gods, they want a god who will take them from here. And is that all they did? They even offered sacrifice to this god. And Aaron did not, we don't see any objection. Do you see any objection? Aaron asked them to bring the earrings, golden earrings. He made a molten calf. How sad it would have been. God is an omnipotent God. He knows everything, what's happening everywhere. He knows throughout the week, each one of us, where we were. He knows when, very time, when God is with Moses, God knows exactly what is happening down there. God says, go back. Moses, go back, leave me alone, as we read. Verse 8 says 32, Exodus 32 verse 8, they have turned aside quickly out of the way. How quickly these people have turned away. How quickly Aaron has turned away. The people of God failed, grieved the God. He wanted to destroy all of them and start over all again with Moses. But Moses intervened and God relented of this thought. Please turn to Exodus chapter 32 and verse 21. If you read, what was Aaron's excuse? And Moses comes back. You probably all know the story. What happens as he comes back? Moses also is angry. And he has two tablets in his hands. And he throws it down. And the tablets are broken. Because God, what God has given in these two tablets, the people of God has already broken it by breaking the law. The three commandments, the first three commandments are already broken. And Moses breaks the stone and he comes down and he says, Aaron, what have you done? And verse 21, we see, and Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee, and thou hast brought so great sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. For I said unto him, whosoever hath any gold, let him break it off. So they gave it to me, and he cast it to the fire, and the fire came. And verse 25, and Moses saw that people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. Moses saw Aaron had led. Some of your version, verse 25 says, it was out of control. People were dancing. People are out of their way. They're lost focus. Brothers, sisters, the word of God was reminding me, when you have been given, assigned a job, when you're accountable in many ministries or work, never be persuaded by men. Here, Aaron was persuaded by man, wasn't he? People came, easily was persuaded. I do not know what happened to Aaron. He forgot the commandments of God. Yeah? He feared probably for his position. He feared someone else will take over. He doesn't say all that. But Aaron literally failed to make this people to focus back on God, on God's command. And we read in verse 35, the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron not made. God was so merciful, he could have destroyed all over again and started again. But because of Moses, if you read in Deuteronomy chapter 9, if you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 9, I was questioning, why was Aaron not punished? We read in verse 20, it says, the Lord was very angry with Aaron to have destroyed him. But I prayed for Aaron also the same time. And I took your sin, the calf which he made, it burnt with fire, and stamped it and ground it very small, even until it was small to dust, and I cast the dust thereof unto the brook that descended out of Mount. Aaron would have been punished, but Moses prayed for Aaron. The next time he went, it says Moses prayed for 40 days, 40 nights. He had no food, no water. And we know the story of how Moses' presence turned. The glory of God was seen upon his face. No one could see Moses' face. He had to put a veil the next time he went, 40 days, 40 nights. So brothers and sisters, the Lord is ministering. Many times the Lord says, if you're strong, encourage somebody who are weak. Moses was strong. He was a good leader. His focus was upon the God. Though Aaron failed, he lifted Aaron up. He prayed for Aaron. How many times I could fail? A brother and sister, we are all strong. We go weak. How many times we need to intercede for each other? We need to pray for each other. Moses prayed and lifted Aaron up. And coming back to, there were a couple of characters as we look. Aaron's son, Nadab and Abihu. Yeah? They were young men. They were given a task. If you come to Leviticus chapter 2, please turn to Leviticus chapter 2. Raju would like to read from verse 14. This is about a burnt offering. God is giving commandments of burnt offering. And Nadab and Abihu has to do this work. 14 to verse 16, please.
And if thou offer a meat offering of thy first fruits unto the Lord, thou shalt offer for the meat offering of thy first fruits great ears of corn, dried by fire, even corn beaten out of the ears. And thou shalt put oil upon it, and lay frankincense thereon. It is a meat offering. And the priest shall burn the memory of it, part of the meat and corn thereof, and part of the oil thereof, put all the frankincense thereof.
Sorry, yeah, I think I gave you the wrong, my apologies. Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 10 to 12. Sorry, can you read that for me? Leviticus chapter 6, verse 10.
And the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen breeches, shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar. And he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments, and put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it, it shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of peace offerings.
The fire shall be?
The fire shall be burning upon the altar, it shall never go out.
Thanks, Raj. Thank you. A very important job. A burnt offering. It has to be burning day and night. And Nadab and Abihu were given this job. It speaks to us, for speaking to me of why the burnt offering in the presence of God burning. It speaks of the presence of God, isn't it? The fire speaks. God led these people by fire, pillar of fire. We see Moses saw when God's glory in the bush. He saw the burning fire. The fire burning day and night. And they had to be very careful. Three times, Lord says, let the fire not go out. Let the fire not go out. If you turn to Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them, his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. What a sad part of the story if we read of Aaron's two sons died in this incident. We do not know what exactly they did wrong, but we do know the word of God says, They offered strange fire. It could have been they bought some coal from outside, which was not meant to, or they put the fire out of the presence of God. When you look at these two men, they had the privilege of knowing the laws of God, the presence of God, the ways of God, but they were careless in the way they performed the Lord's duty. They took it for granted. You know, they did not realize the consequences. Sometimes our intentions may be right of serving the Lord, but if you do not serve the God's way, it won't give pleasure to God. God was very particular in his ways. Our ways are higher, the Lord's ways are higher than above us. And carelessness, negligence could cost. When we work in the God's work, I and you, the Lord is speaking to me, be very careful. God's work has to be done in God's way. So going back to her, there's one more character in chapter 31, in Exodus chapter 31. We see about her's grandson, Blaziel. Exodus chapter 31, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Blaziel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, and the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in the wisdom and understanding and in knowledge in all manner of workmanship. If you read what exactly they have to do, it's a very big task. Because all these things we are reading in these 11 months, what God gave, the laws, the commandments, the ceremonial laws, the priestly garments. You read it in Leviticus, you read it in Deuteronomy, you read it in Exodus. You read in Exodus chapter 24, Moses came back and gave all the words to these people. You're so faithful. And he says in one of the verse 4, I think it says, Moses wrote the words of God. It may be a small word, but Moses wrote the words of God. These books we are reading today because of the faithfulness of the servant. Moses wrote first 5 books and much in it. But the thought here as I come was, in God's work, without the knowledge, without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We can only do in His wisdom. God gave these people, He chose these men, and He anointed them. To verse 7 says, of the same chapter, they had to do the tabernacle of the congregation, and the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is thereupon, and all the furniture of the tabernacle. The wisdom of God, the anointing of God was upon these men. And they were able to deliver this work. We looked at Aaron. He was persuaded by men. We looked at Nadab and Abihu. They were careless. And they took for granted. And it costed them a lot. We see Hur's grandson walking faithfully. And he was chosen. And he was used. Lord, make me an instrument of worship. A great work. There are many stories in the Bible. We don't have time. We know the story of Saul. God chose him as well, isn't it? To be a king, a ruler of Israel. But his focus was elsewhere. He became carnal. He disobeyed God. He offered enough sacrifice instead of waiting for Samuel. And he lost. God had to choose man after his own heart, King David. We go many stories. God's work to be done in God's way. So brothers and sisters, as we turn to a few verses from James 1:8, if someone has, you could read James chapter 1, verse 8 says. When you look at Moses, though he started, we look into it. If he was of double-minded, he wouldn't have done what he has done. He was so faithful. He was confident of the destiny God had called him to do. If you turn to Exodus chapter 3, we know the story of burning bush. We won't read much, but the thought I'd like to bring is, if you turn to Exodus chapter 4, and verse 10, when Lord calls Moses, when he's about 8 years old, that I want you to be a deliverer, to lead the people out. And Moses said unto Lord, oh my God, I'm not eloquent. Neither therefore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I'm slow of speech and a slow tongue. Verse 13 says, send somebody, O Lord, somebody else. And here you see Moses. He's a different man. Once he took this task, he was committed to the Lord. One of the things God we see in the character of Moses is commitment. God's destiny was for these people. Chapter 3 verse 8 says, and I come down to deliver them out of the hand of Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land and into a good land and a large unto a good land flowing with milk and honey unto the place. This was the vision of God for God's people. And Moses took it to all his heart. God has a vision, same vision for you and me. He wants me to take us to promised land. That is his vision. He wants us to change us. Why not soon after we are born again, we don't go to heaven? It is 11 days journey, took 40 years. God is transforming me and you. And we have each other where God has given in this beautiful church, the body of Christ, as we read in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 12, many different gifts, but He has given us to equip, for the body of Christ. We shall read that verse, Ephesians chapter 4, and verse 12 says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, and a measure of stature of the fullness of Christ. Without each other, we can do nothing. I can't do what you can do. You can't do different gifts for the glory of God, for the edification of God, for the perfection, until for the perfect man that He's transforming us into God. So, firstly, Moses was not an unstable man. He was, once he took this commitment, he was committed to the cause, what God had called him. Jesus said this verse in Luke's Gospel chapter 9, verse 62. If someone has it, Luke's Gospel chapter 9 and 62. And Jesus said unto him, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Many times, sometimes I start to do a job for, I say to Deepika that I'm going to do, lawn mowing. And I fail to focus on it and I don't do it that day sometimes. When we do a job, especially in God's work, God is asking us to continue. Moses had many difficulties, many challenges, but he was faithful, never turned back. One of the qualities of leaders is commitment. Secondly, dedication. If you read Numbers chapter 12, you read that his own brother, his own sister, actually went, spoke against him. Please turn to Numbers chapter 12. You read that story that now Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses of Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they had said, "The Lord indeed spoken only by Moses, hath he not spoken by us?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spoke suddenly unto Moses and to Aaron and Miriam, "Come out ye three unto tabernacle of congregation." And the three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron, Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him I'll speak mouth to mouth, or face to face, even apparently, not in dark speeches, and the simultaneous to the Lord shall he behold, whereof then were he not afraid to speak against my servant Moses." Psalm 31 verse 23 says, "The Lord preserves his faithful." Lord preserves the faithful. Moses was a faithful and meek man on the Lord. Moses didn't know what they spoke against them, but Lord heard it. And Miriam was, as you know, Miriam was cursed with leprosy. And you read in verse again, Moses was merciful and gracious. He prays for his sister and he was put out 7 days. Incidentally, as we read this chapter, where was the destination of Mount Sinai was the next destination? Wilderness of Paran. Soon after this incident, as we read, they waited 7 more days because Miriam was put out for 7 days to heal. You read in verse 16, afterward the people removed Hejboth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. It looks like it was the 11th month as we read this incident. But going back to the thought, Moses had many challenges. He was burdened with every day millions of people coming. His own came to him, his own spoke against him. But Moses continued and he did not look back. He moved on his destination. We read about his burden. If you turn to Numbers chapter 11, this is how he cried when he was burdened. When he could not take all this burden, he cried unto the Lord. Numbers chapter 11 verse 10 says, "The Moses heard the people weep throughout the families, every man in the door of his tent, And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted my servant? Wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight? And thou layest the burden of all this people unto me. Have I conceived all these people? Have I begotten them? And thou shouldest say unto me, Carry them in my bosom, as a nursing father beareth the suckling child unto the land which thou swearest unto thy fathers. Fourthly, brothers and sisters, first is commitment, dedication. Thirdly, we see the burden of Moses. A great leader will have a burden for his people. He had a great burden. And we read in verse 25, later God gave his spirit upon 70 other. Verse 25 says, The Lord came down in a cloud and spoke unto him and took the spirit that was upon Moses and gave it unto 70 elders. Millions of people. Lot of burden. But God was gracious. We could only do in his strength. Moses took the burden of the people of God. And he did not look back. He continued steadfastly. So the thoughts as we looked at, Moses had a sacrificial life. He could have stayed back after bringing them out of Egypt. I said, my job is done. I'm going back to Miriam and Gershon, back to my sheep. Did he do that? No. He went all the way. Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel 5:41, if somebody asks you to go an extra mile, go 2 miles more. That's what I see in Moses. He went an extra mile. And he was dedicated, he was committed, and most importantly, he did God's work in God's will. Faithfulness, sacrificial. So much to take from this chapter as we read from Exodus chapter 24. Never be persuaded by men, as we read from Aaron. Never take God's word for granted, as we heard from Nadab and Abihu. And we read about Moses, who was committed and dedicated and sacrificial, and he, God's cause. And finally, I'll read the verse 2 Timothy and we'll close. Please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Please turn to 2 Timothy. Chapter 2 and verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some for honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. To be used in his Lord's, one of the thought God was bringing is to have a sanctified life, a separated life. And Moses had this life of sanctified, separated, a clear vision called for the Lord. May the Lord help me and you in the great work, in the land of living, that we may be of a master use, sanctified and dedicated to the Lord. May the Lord bless this word. How about we sing Purify My Heart, song number. Can we turn to the song number?